Hey, everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with Erin Lynam, and we're talking about nature and God's amazing creation and how we can help our kids grow in their knowledge and understanding of their creator by reading his word, by being out in creation, and how we can make this work practically in our homeschools. So we're going to talk more about that. But before we do, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. They will equip you for a successful homeschool journey, and they will be with you every step of the way. And they love being part of your homeschool journey. BJU Press Homeschool is amazing. If you call and talk to one of their consultants, they will just help walk you through what you need for your child. So whatever grade, whatever subject you are looking for, they will help you. BJUPressHomeschool.com. Well, Erin, welcome back to the podcast. I am so glad to have you back with me today. Let's talk about a topic that I don't think we have ever in 6.5 years or so talked about on this podcast. I want to talk about climate change and how we can help our kids to understand climate change from a biblical perspective.
I love this topic, and I think it's so important because it is such a hot topic in society right now. And there's a lot of extreme views on it, and there's a lot of alarm around it. Like, I remember my oldest son coming to me a couple years ago and just being really concerned because he heard about, like, the earth is warming up and what are we going to do about it? And especially for children who are just still developing their logic, it can be a really scary thing. And so I believe that we can redeem this and bring it back to a biblical perspective and help our children to think critically and biblically about it. Yeah. So how I've really addressed it with my children is the first starting with the world has been changing since it was cursed in Eden because of sin. Like, we see that the curse dramatically changed things, like right away, thorns and thistles, and the world became very different. And so I want my children to see, like, it is not going to be steady. Everything is not going to be the same. There's a decay. And we're told that this world is temporary and that it is moving toward that decay. But at the same time, Adam in Genesis 2:15 was placed in the garden to tend and keep it. And that is our same job as stewards of God's earth. So we don't want to hasten that decay or do things that are harmful to what God has made. We want to steward it well, while also knowing this is our temporary home and looking forward to heaven because we have eternity in our hearts. And one reason I tell my children it's so important to be stewards of God's good earth is because this is all evidence. Like we already talked about, that we have all these materials in God's created world to point people to Christ. And so why would we want those to disappear? And so we should be doing all we can to protect them. Like a good friend of mine, she was an atheist into college, and she came to Christ through a flower. Like, I know that sounds extreme, and it was a longer journey than that, but it started with her seeing a lily of the valley. Wow. While she was out on a walk. And I know all these other stories and just beautiful tales of people. It started with an experience in nature. And so why would we do anything to harm those materials? Yeah. And so just helping our kids see, like, this is a natural decay. Not natural if we think of it as God originally created it.
Sure.
But it's something that we should expect and know is happening and not be alarmed by. Secondly, I want my children to see that there are natural cycles within nature. So yes, the world is warming up very slowly. For instance, from 1880 to 1890, the combined land and water temperature rose about 1.3 degrees Fahrenheit over 100 years. But at the same time, I want my children to see that there was also a medieval warming period between 800 and 1200 AD that was more extreme than this. So there are also these natural rhythms, and they shouldn't alarm us. And that being key, like, always bring our kids back to, we don't need to be afraid because we have eternal hope in Christ.
Yeah.
So we should be stewards. We should care for his earth, but we always look forward to eternity and do everything we can right now to use these natural materials, get outside with our friends, point others to the Creator so that they also have eternal hope, so that when they see the world changing, they don't have to be afraid either.
Yeah. How can we help our kids? You talk about being good stewards. How can we practically help our kids to become good stewards of God's creation?
First and foremost, we care about the things that we know. We care about the things that we understand. And so it might not be a direct way to help, but first what I do is I want to help my kids become familiar with species of birds, because then they care about them. I want them to know the name of those birds, the name of those insects, the names of those plants and trees, because then they care about them. They want to go out and do things. Some practical things we do, of course, like we'll go and pick up trash around our natural areas. One my kids really enjoy doing is when we're by a river or a lake or a pond, they will go and get the fishing line out of the trees that fishers have left behind, because birds will take that and use it as nesting material. And then they often get stuck and end up dying in their nest because of that fishing line. So that's one that my kids really enjoy doing. But yeah, just cleaning up and helping them to also promote good habitat. We plant a native flower pollinator garden in our yard, and it has brought in so many insects and birds. It's been incredible. We've lived in this house for 2 years. Our first year was really just spent getting out what we didn't want. There are a lot of invasive species. And then I hit the easy button and I ordered a pollinator native plant garden kit. And I got all these little seedlings and we put them in the ground. And I didn't expect such a fast transformation. But that second summer, we had ladybug larvae all over our bushes and all these different insects and bees and flies and crickets and grasshoppers everywhere. Like, it was just, our yard was alive, and it brought in all these birds, and our kids got to see like what we are doing matters. We are protecting these species. We are promoting health within God's natural world, and that feels productive. Mm-hmm. So it also speaks to the heart of work and creativity that God has placed in our children. We are helping them fulfill that purpose of stewardship.
So when you see a bird and maybe, or a flower, and you don't know what kind of bird or what kind of flower it is, how do you discover what it is?
There are some very easy tools you can use. One is an app called the letter I, Naturalist, where you can take a picture and it will give you its best results based on your location and the picture itself of what that is. That has helped us so much. Even like last summer, my son brought in this incredible caterpillar. It was bright colored. It was massive. The thing was so plump. I took a picture and it showed me what butterfly it was going to turn into.
Oh, wow.
So not only did we know the caterpillar, but we knew what it was going to turn into. So iNaturalist is a great one. We have a ton of field guides in our home. We have bird feeders out in our front yard. That's key. Bring nature in. Put out bird feeders where your kids can see them, and then have a set of binoculars and guides of local birds. And they're just going to become curious. I've done so much as to, I put in some work to learn, okay, what are these birds coming to our yard? And then I printed their pictures and names, and I just tacked it up next to our window so that our kids see the bird out by the feeder and they can look and see which bird it is. And those are just easy ways to help them become familiar. But if you want to go further, one of my sons showed a real interest in birding. He and my husband are really the ones that got our whole family into it. And so you'll love this as a homeschool mom, but he applied for a grant and wrote a whole essay for a learning opportunity in birding. And he received the grant and used it for him and me to go on a 3-day intensive birding course up in the Rocky Mountains.
Wow.
And we stayed in a cabin. It was just the two of us. It was an incredible experience. And it was actually an adult class. He was the only child there. And I was just so proud of him for taking that initiative and really following what he was interested in. So there's also courses, like you can really take it as far as you want, or start small with an iNaturalist app and just go on a nature hike and see how much you can identify.
That is really cool. I was actually wondering, because I had heard that there was an app that can help you identify different things, and I didn't know what it was. And so I'm so glad that you're giving me the name of that.
It's so much fun. Can I mention one more for you?
Yeah, of course.
So another app we use specifically for birding is Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N, Bird ID. And that one's really neat because you can really look through and find what birds just by sight. But what I love about it is that it has sound ID. So you just turn it on, hit record. It's going to listen to this bird song around you and tell you what birds are around. And then that's when we can say, okay, now that we know what they look like, the app showed us, we know they're around, let's find them with our binoculars. And so it takes that ID a step further.
That is so cool. We have a fun game that we got many years ago called Bug Bingo. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Ooh, no, but, that sounds fun.
It's so much fun. And it has actual pictures of all sorts of different bugs. And then, of course, you draw the bingo cards and, you know, everybody tries to get bingo. But it's cool because it comes with a guide. And so it has a guide telling what every single one of the bugs is and, you know, where it comes from and facts about each of those bugs. And it's just a fun way to learn about bugs. But we have one card missing and it drives me crazy every time because you can't have a missing card in bingo, but we do. Anyway, it's lots of fun. So we're going to take a break though. We'll be right back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children." If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. Let's talk about what a wonder conservationist is. What is that? I've never, ever even heard that term before. What is that?
That is a term I coined for my book. I had never heard it before either, so I don't know. Maybe it's out there. I don't know. But
it is now.
But I was thinking about, you know, it's so important that we, like we talked about, take care of God's earth, that we are stewards. And so when you talk about that, you also come into this realm of conservation and caring for a lot of people would say nature. I would say creation, caring for what God has made. That is so important. But also, I think equally important is helping to preserve or conserve the wonder that God has placed in our children. Like I was saying earlier, we take care of what we actually care about.
Yeah.
And so how are our children going to conserve and preserve what God has made if they don't have that wonder that he has placed inside of them? And that is God-given. Our children are created wonderfully within the womb. And that includes this deep sense of wonderment of what God has made. There's a verse in Job that says, "Let us stop and consider the wondrous works of God." And so doing everything we can to preserve that. I know, like I grew up spending time in nature. We would camp and we would hike, but over time that really decayed. And that happens in so many of us. Mm. And so doing all that we can to preserve that within our children, giving them these great experiences in nature, giving them copious amounts of time in nature. Charlotte Mason said every child should have at least a half day every week in nature. So start there and just giving our kids those connections so that that wonder doesn't decay.
So as we're talking about a wonder conservationist, I love that you made that term up. We're going to say you made it up for sure because I've never heard it. Not that I know all things about nature and stuff, but as our kids are looking at creation and understanding who God is as creator, so many of our kids today, and I know we're going to kind of go off into the weeds, pun totally intended there. We're going to go off into the weeds a little bit here. But I think so oftentimes our kids are so busy with screen time. They're busy playing video games. They're busy on their tablets, you know, watching videos, just sitting and doing things that are not really activating their brains to see the wonder of God's creation. Mm-hmm. Talk about the dangers of screen time a little bit and how we can maybe kind of pull away from that a little bit and the importance of pulling away screen time from our kids and getting them back out into nature.
When I talk about screen time, I often use the analogy of an invasive plant. And so in nature, we have native plants, which are belonging. They should be there. They help the landscape. They're beautiful. They contribute. And then we have invasive plants, which are like alien plants. They're not supposed to be there. They might still look beautiful, but unless you really know what they're doing, you don't realize they are causing a lot of havoc and a lot of harm.
Yeah.
And so I talk about technology as being like this invasive plant. And there are really 3 comparisons. So for instance, invasive plants are relatively, they're a relatively new introduction. So I think it was around 100 years ago, they began bringing these invasive plants over from exotic lands to bring beauty, exotic beauty to our gardens. And the same being true with technology. This is a new introduction. Yeah. I was, I think, 14 when I got my first phone, and then probably around 21 when I got my first smartphone. And so our kids are really the first generation growing up in this highly tech world. And so we are the first generation of parents having to navigate that.
Yeah.
So both invasive plants and technology are new introductions that we are having to navigate. And both of them came with some good intentions. Like I said, invasive plants were brought in to bring beauty. And technology came with a lot of great uses. Like we're using it right now to produce this podcast.
Yeah.
But third, and so important, is that left unchecked, both can be devastating. Invasive plants can completely ruin a landscape. I see a lot of that here in Colorado. And the same being true with technology, that if we don't keep this in check, then it overruns our kids' childhoods. Because like with invasive plants, when they're in an area they're not supposed to be, they have the upper hand because they also don't have their natural predators to keep them at bay. And so they just overrun. And the same with technology. Technology so quickly overrules and crowds out those natural pastimes, you know, of playing outside, of reading a good book, of playing a board game, of creating. Yeah. Technology is going to really just take over that if we don't rein it in. But also like that can seem so daunting and so overwhelming. Like I know I have so many struggles with screen time in my own home and raising four kids.
Yeah.
But the truth is also that it is not hopeless and it can be restored. There's a natural area by us that it was really devastated by invasive plants and just neglect. And then when volunteers went in and started restoring it to its natural habitat, it took about 10 years, but now all of the native birds and insects are coming back. And I always think about that. It takes time, it takes little changes, and it takes a lot of effort, but it is so worth it. And so start small, make one small change. Like today's average child is spending 4 to 7 hours on a screen every day and 4 to 7 minutes outside every day.
Wow.
There's a lot of room for improvement there. And don't be overwhelmed by that number. Just start small. Okay, can you trade 1 hour of screen time for 1 hour of outdoor play today? Go to the park, go to the river, get friends involved. That's huge. If you want your child to be less excited about screens, more excited about time outdoors, say, hey, let's go meet some friends down by the river or down at the beach. Get them involved. And that really helps a lot.
Yeah, it's more fun to do things in community. That way for sure. I know for myself, one of the things I find with my girls specifically is, you know, my youngest one likes to be outside a whole lot more than my older daughter, but sometimes she's like, I don't even know what to do outside anymore. You know, I've done all the things. What do? I've taken the walk. I've looked at the trees. I've ridden my bike. I've done all the things. And so I find that to be difficult sometimes of just helping our kids navigate through, like, what do they do when they go outside? They can look at the birds, they can look at the flowers, they can look at, but that only takes so much time. So we're out of time today, but I want to come back tomorrow and maybe you can give some ideas of some things that kids can do in nature besides looking at, I shouldn't say besides, in addition to looking at nature and studying nature, because I know just being outside alone in the sunshine is so good for them. So we'll talk more about that and some other things. But tell us again one more time where people can find out more about you and your podcast and your books.
Yeah, on my website, Erin Lynum, ErynLynum.com. And my books are on there and our podcast, Nat Theo, Nature Lessons Rooted in the Bible, a podcast for kids, is also on there.
All right. We'll put those links in the show notes. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. And thank you guys so much for being with us. We are so grateful for you. If there is any way that we can be praying for you, you can always send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Also, let us know if there are questions we can answer on the podcast, topics you want us to discuss, guests you would like to have on the podcast. Let us know. We are here to serve you, and that is our ministry, as we want to encourage and equip you as homeschool parents. So you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com, or again, send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. We love you guys. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
we are investing in their legacy and their eternity, especially as homeschool parents.
Yeah.
Just how much opportunity there is in every single penny and every single week. It comes from Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, and just really raising our children and training them in a way that honors God and builds into their eternity. If we only have 936 weeks, then that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
Like that's if we brought a baby home as a newborn and they stay until they're 18. If we only have that time, then we can make that time richer by spending it outdoors.